firmly believes in his position. And he knows that it's not politically good for him. I don't know what to do with that kind of a situation. But I started talking about things like model cities and, you know, our basic program. I said, you know, Bob, what we ought to be doing is fighting Republicans, for Christ's sake. And, frankly, I thought it was a hell of a meeting. I didn't ask for the meeting. He said he'd like to get together, and he came down, he had lunch with me, and we spent 2 hours on a very confidential basis. And, Christ, the day after we had that meeting, he went to New York and made a statement to the press that he was looking forward to campaigning as hard as he could for you. And so I thought to myself, well, that's a little bit of a sign of improvement. And then, my God, a week later, I look in the paper and find his comment on the Ho Chi Minh letter. So I'll be damned if I could figure that out. I haven't talked to him since, but he told me he wanted to do everything he possibly could in the 1968 campaign, starting immediately, that he wanted no goddamn involvement with any peacenik in the country that was trying to use him in any primary or anything else, and that there would be absolutely nothing like that happen, and that anything that I wanted to suggest to him on a day-to-day basis for him to do, that he'd appreciate having my advice and counsel, and he'd follow it through.
Well, let me ask you this, Larry. Does he not realize that when he and Rebikov get on there and say that I'm no friend of the poor on television, and when they come along here on the draft and knock the ass out of me on that, and they come along here on Vietnam and hit the hell out of us on that, and then they come along with these stories about calling me a son of a bitch, and Nick didn't leak that, and Rostow didn't leak it, and I didn't leak it, and it didn't happen. But I'm told by a good man I've known 25 years in this town that his people called him up and asked him to come up and told him how Bobby chewed me out and how I chewed him out and how Bobby said I don't have to listen to this and all that time stuff. And his people leaked that. Now, it seems to me that if he's as wise as we would hope he is, that he could see that that is damaging pretty generally to him and to me. I don't believe either of us profit from it.
Yeah.
I believe if either of us do, the Manchester book and that, I believe I do. I don't believe he does. Now, I may be wrong.
Oh, you're right.
I believe that I'm right. Now, it seems to me the principal beneficiaries are the Republicans.
Yep.
Now, let's assume that he wants to be president tomorrow. Let's just assume it. I believe that to be true. I think he'd be president tomorrow if he could do it. So let's assume he does. It doesn't seem to me that with the president in here and in charge and willing to use it and to play any way he needs to, although I've tried my best to play fair with Jack Kennedy, I think I have. My conscience is very, very clear on that point, and I think in Vietnam that he's right where I am and I'm carrying out his policy. But let's just assume that he decided that he would try to defeat me for president. I don't honestly believe if he did that he could possibly win, because I just believe that my state and 20 others would be in revolt. I think it'd be a hell of a lot worse than Teddy Roosevelt and Taft, because I'm in the presidency and I've got the folks now. So I don't think he'd do that. I don't see why he wants us to have a bad record and to be defeated in 68, because then they take all this power that he could get in 72 if he wants to be president. I don't get their reasoning. Now, he's got Peace Corps people. Bill says it's Makowitz and then little Malinsky, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Maybe, and Ken Galbraith and Schlesinger. They directed Stevenson's campaign 56. And maybe they directed, but I can't see from their angle, if they're interested in nothing but themselves, why it's to their advantage, A, to make me weak at all. I think the stronger they are. It's a hell, Kennedy made this man president. He carried on a good job. Now let's take another man that Kennedy's interested in make president. Looks like that'd be the damn line. I don't see how they get anywhere with defeating us in 68, or weakening us in 68.
Well, they don't, and it's a completely stupid situation, but what you have to remember, and Arthur Schlesinger is advisor to a guy, and incidentally, I told Bobby, I'm telling you, that Arthur Schlesinger is advisor to a guy, he's getting advice from about as stupid an individual politically as I've ever met in my life. And he's a completely irresponsible guy. And you travel that path, and they'll send you right down the goddamn drain. And I said to Bobby, I'll tell you, that potentially you're the leader of the Democratic Party in the future. And that future is down the road some years. And I said, of course, the way these fellows are steering you, you can wind up the leader of the new left. You know. And I told him exactly that. And frankly, he didn't disagree with me at all. He said, well, goddamn it, I know that... fallen back, and I know that I've got problems. And I said, well, Christ, when I read in a magazine that a couple of guys whose names I can't even recall, that are the new leaders of the new left, they're up at your apartment advising you, I said, Christ, that's a hell of a long way over to the a road that I never figured you'd travel. And I don't know that those staff guys, but he's got one foe that they tell me is the worst bomb thrower that ever lived. There's some guy that thinks Stokely Carmichael's a conservative. And those are the people that he's listening to every day of the week. Now, I said to him, finally, the proof of the pudding is this. We've got a goddamn tough, mean situation going into 68. We've got a tough Congress. We've got a hell of a good program on the books. We're looking for new breakthroughs. And let's take model cities. And I went right over the failure of these people that supposedly were so interested in the cities to try to present amendments and work with Muskie. And I said, the proof of this over the next year will be how the hell much effort is being expended in behalf of the president's program, which is the party's program, and how much effort is going to be expended fighting Republicans. It's as clear as that. And he left me after 2 hours saying, well, will you keep in touch with me, and will you? And I'd appreciate having your advice as we go along this road. And I said, well, okay, if that's the way you want it, let's see how it works. He was goddamn concerned, Mr. President. I know him well enough to figure him there. He's arrogant, and he's, he can go off half-cocked. I've known this kid since 1951, and boy, I've had some problems with him over the years. But he's never gotten anything from me when he has ever asked to talk to me except total candor right from the shoulder, because what the hell, I'm not trying to play any game. And that's what he got that day, and he took it in great style and said that he thought what I was saying made a hell of a lot of sense. He appreciated the comments I had made, and by God, let's go out and work.
All right, now let's get any other names that you can. Now, what is your evaluation? If you had to pick the two best ones we've considered, who would you look at now?
Well, I would say at this point that I'd be looking at Booten and Sanders, and in the White House, I'd be looking at Jimmy.
Okay, thank you. I'll talk to you. You get in and see me before I leave tomorrow.
Okay, Mr. President.